What's up, first thing first listeners? It's your boy Shay Sharp, co-host of FS1's Undisputed. I wanted to tell you about my new podcast, Club Shay Shay, where we always do something before two something. Each week, I sit down with a guest for a drink and conversation, and as host and proprietor of Club Shay Shay, I welcome in esteemed guests such as Snoop Dogg, Floyd Money Mayweather, LeVar Ball, Isaiah Thomas, just to mention a few. Whether I'm talking to an athlete, a musician, an actor, or a lifelong friend, Club Shay Shay is a place where people share inspiring and motivational stories about their journeys to prominence. The new episode drops every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to Club Shay Shay now and make sure you never miss a new episode. Now, back to First Things First.
Yeah, jump the gun. First things first, will Giannis or Zion take the throne from LeBron as the NBA's best player? Might be one of them. Are the Dallas Cowboys finally committing to Dak Prescott? And hey, Houston, here's my number, so call me maybe. Happy Friday, everyone. Today's a great day to have a great day. We're all in great moods. Welcome to First Things First.
Happy Friday. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Jenna.
Listen to that music.
Happy birthday.
No, don't dance. Don't dance.
That's not me dancing. That's just me being happy.
Oh, no.
I'll show you dancing later, Nick. That was just me being happy. Oh, it's a great day. We're going to have a great show. It is Friday. I was born a couple years ago today. And we are going to start in Seattle. Big news, where I'm sure there is a sleepless line there somewhere. Because until they figure out what to do about Russell Wilson, arguably the best player in franchise history, nobody's getting a good night's sleep out there in Seattle. Here's the latest from his agent, by the way. Russ has not demanded a trade. But if it were to happen, if he were going to demand a trade, here's what he said. He would be open to the following four teams: the Dallas Cowboys, the Saints, the Raiders, and the Chicago Bears. Cowboys, Saints, Raiders, and Bears. Brandon, what are the real chances here? Russ is in Seattle week one come next season.
Yeah, well, I asked this question specifically to someone close to Russ, and they said 60%. 60% he'll be there. And I think this is the best opportunity for him. The grass isn't always greener on the other side. You got to think about all the work that he's done in the community, all the work and the relationships that he's built in that locker room, in that organization. You guys know I love Russ. I love this organization. I've been bashing a few guys there, but I had an amazing time there. I studied Coach Pete Carroll and his leadership abilities and his processes and his system. But right now, these two have to call each other, point blank period. You guys haven't even talked to each other on the phone in the last couple weeks, and that's alarming. That's a huge problem. So if they can work it out and they can get on the same page, Seattle is the best option. But if we want to break down those four teams, let's do it, and let's do it in order. Let's start with the Chicago Bears, and let me show you this graph, and I'm going to rank them this way. Why is the Bears a good situation, a good fit for Russell Wilson? This is a guy who wants to win. I've never been around a better competitor. He wants to win, and he wants to win in style. The Chicago Bears allow you to do that. I was there for 3 years. Amazing place. If you win there, you're iconic. This is an iconic franchise. They sit right there at the top in all of sports, as far as probably top 10 in brands. So you want to go there, and you got a good defense, and they're going to give you the keys. And I know they have already discussed this internally of what they can give up and what they're willing to do for Russell for him to be comfortable. The Cowboys, this is number three. Why? Because this is a situation where you just pretty much you win in style. This is a legacy play here. If you are the quarterback of America's team, then you're probably king of America. And then number two, we're going to go with the Saints. And I think the Saints is pretty much the best option, but I'll let the resident GM, maybe you can tell me if they can get this done. But they're in cap hell. They don't have the assets to get it done. But if you are able to do it, maybe you can figure it out, Nick. Then this is where you'll probably win and win fast. This will be unfair to the NFL if he got to the Saints, and the number one destination is the Raiders. And if things implode and continue to implode in Seattle, this is where I think he'll end up. Why the Raiders? I mean, the Raiders, they have the best young, talented core group on the offensive side. Coach Gruden's going to let it be the Russell Wilson show, new stadium, new everything, and I think he'll really enjoy his time there. So these are the top four, Nick. What you think?
All right, so let me address Brandon's list in just a moment. But first, I need to make a very important personal announcement. I have no intention of leaving my wife. But here's a list I have ready of four women I'd be happy to end up with. Wait, what? Wait, hold on. I don't want to leave Seattle, but if I were to, here are these four teams that I'm just letting you know I'd be fine with. That ain't great, fellas. And Brandon couched it as 60% chance he stays. Well, even on her birthday, Jenna can do that math. That means 40% chance he leaves. That's 2 out of 5. That's just a slightly worse than a coin flip. And I take, Brandon, this latest report, which isn't a report. It is an on-the-record quote from his agent as siren sounding in the Puget Sound. I would be freaking out if I'm a Seahawks fan, because now it's real. It's no longer the Athletic report. And by the way, great job reporting that Athletic story. But he stormed out of a meeting in week 9. And it is one of the two most important parties, either Russ or his agent, in this case his agent, saying, we don't want to go anywhere. But I do have this handy list ready so Brandon Marshall can break it down of places I would go. Now, to answer Brandon's question, the Saints have as much of a chance of trading for Russell Wilson as we do. 0%. We can't afford him. The Saints can't afford him. So it might be fun. It could be a good idea. That the salary cap is, you can screw with it, but you can't totally ignore it. So I think the Saints have no shot. Wilds, I think the team Brandon had third is the most intriguing, because that team is the Dallas Cowboys. And the simplest and most obvious and easiest trade involves our franchise quarterback for your franchise quarterback. A Dak Prescott, Russell Wilson deal. Now, if I'm Seattle and I'm Pete Carroll and I like to run the football, I'm like, hey, our guy's better, so why don't you throw in Ezekiel Elliott? And then Dallas says, okay, well, then maybe you guys throw in a draft pick. Like, there is some negotiation there.
I like
it. But the reason these trades, Wilds, don't happen is because you cannot get fair value for a franchise quarterback. Unless, of course, you're getting one in return. So I think Dallas and a Dak for Russ trade being not the whole trade, but the parameters of it, is super intriguing. But I also think, Wilds, this is something that is now a A1 story almost every morning, because his agent went on the record about it.
Yeah, well, I love the Cowboys trade, and I wanted to dig into this article and find the red meat on what was going wrong, and Brandon say it's imploding and Russ is unhappy. And then I read it, and I'm like, you know what? Brandon, this all seems very fixable. Like, Russ's demands, if we're going to call them demands, they seem like they could be fixed over literally like a cup of coffee at the Starbucks in Seattle. Go to the nice one. Go to the original one. Make it like a special date. Here's what he wants. I don't want to get hit. All right, we got the 56 pick. We'll draft an offensive lineman. Okay, what else do you want? I want to be consulted on personnel. All right, here's what we're thinking about. We'll send you a text. Okay, that sounds good. And I want to cook a little bit more. Like, all right, yeah, because that whole Russ can cook thing. Well, we have some concerns too. All right, Russ, like, what do you got? He's like, don't turn the ball over, because that's where things kind of went sideways on us. Over two games, you turn the ball over 7 times, so we kind of pulled back a little bit. And that's it. There is no, like, huge gulf here. It feels like a small stream that they can just jump over. So to me, I know you're saying it's 60-40, but from what I read in the article, unless you know that there's more, and shout out to you, Brandon, you were mentioned in the article, unless you know more that there's a bigger gulf that I'm not seeing here.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's cool. Well, yeah, here's the deal. First of all, they got to talk to each other. I'm not sure that they're even picking up the phone. Like, Russell Wilson, he may be on vacation somewhere traveling the world. Why isn't Pete Carroll on the plane to where Russell Wilson is? Why isn't Russell Wilson flying back to Seattle? Why isn't these two meeting somewhere, some undisclosed place, and talking through these things? While I was there, I was able to see their relationship. That relationship between the quarterback and that head coach is important. It's one of the most important relationships in the entire building. And they had a great relationship because Russell Wilson is an extension of Pete Carroll. So I don't understand why they can't work this out. Pete Carroll, you got to think about this. If I'm Pete, I'm looking at my record and I'm saying, before Russell Wilson, I had a losing record. After Russell Wilson, I've been on pace to become a Hall of Fame coach. So why wouldn't you figure this out? If Russell Wilson is telling you that I'm growing, I'm maturing, and I want to start airing it out, then listen to him. Go down with Russell Wilson. Don't try to stick to your stubborn ways and try to run the ball.
Brandon, I think you're right, but I think that stream rather than golf that Wilds is referring to, for Pete Carroll, it's a massive gulf, and it's not about adding an offensive lineman or consulting him, because they consulted him on hiring the offensive coordinator. It's about the type of team we're going to be. And I was on Seattle radio yesterday talking about this, ostensibly because Brandon wouldn't answer their calls. So they're like, we'll get the guy that Brandon talks to about this. Maybe he'll have some insight. And so I gave them my insight on the Russell Wilson situation. And one of the things that I was trying to hammer home there was, Wilds, you mentioned it, the two games where he had seven turnovers in the middle of the year and his MVP conversation got derailed. And then the Seahawks, instead of letting Russ cook, they didn't totally revert back. They just put it down, let Russ simmer a bit. Let Russ go to a slow boil. If I'm Russell Wilson, I'm like, hold on a second. The last 5 years, I feel we've underachieved because we've done things your way. We haven't been to a conference championship game since 2014. We lost a very winnable playoff game against the Dallas Cowboys a few years ago, a playoff game, because you kept running the ball into the line of scrimmage instead of letting me cook. We've done it your way for year after year after year. We hit a 2-week rough patch of doing it my way, and we're like, well, can't work, won't do it. I think that's the frustration, is it's like we gave your way a long, fair shot. Now, can we give my way a long enough shot to where I'm allowed to have a bad month of football before we say it can't work? That, I think, is the real source of the conflict.
And I agree that it seems like it's fixable, Wilds, but if it were truly fixable, you'd hear something from Seattle about making an attempt, a valiant attempt to even try to fix it, and so far, nothing. Hey, we talked about not answering calls. Speaking of, why aren't the Texans picking up the phone as teams call trying to trade for their franchise quarterback, Deshaun Watson? That story next, first things first. First things first, listeners, I wanted to tell you about our brand new Fox Sports app and website, foxsports.com, reimagined for the modern sports fan. Go ahead, download the new app right now. You don't even have to pause this episode. Every day on the new app and website, you'll see the top stories in sports, plus a rich world of written content, videos, social media, and analytics to give you a 360-degree view of the most important stories of the day. Streaming live TV has never been so easy or elegant. Every Fox Sports game, including all pregame and postgame shows, as well as the televised version of this show, just a click away. For the extra invested fan, we also go deep with real-time wagering lines, trending prop bets, win probability, and key player projections. So download the new Fox Sports app or visit www.foxsports.com.
Okay, quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So, to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF.
Let us get back to football. Now we're talking some Deshaun Watson. So we're hearing that Deshaun met with Texans head coach David Culley last week, told him he's done playing in Houston, at Houston refusing to acknowledge the breakup, unrequited love, unwilling to listen to teams who have reportedly been leaving voicemails with trade offers. First of all, voicemails, second take, always text, never call. Or voice text, if you're me. Deshaun tweeted this yesterday, quote, "Loyalty is everything, don't you forget it. Whether those are future lyrics or not, it still means something." So, Brandon, why hold on to Deshaun now that he's officially demanded a trade? What's in it for Houston?
Ooh, it's time to move on, Jenna. I mean, of course they want this guy because he's a top three, top four quarterback. That's why they want him. But I think this is deeper. And I'm going to go to one of our buddies, our colleagues. One of the things that he made epic this last year in the middle of a global pandemic when racial tension was soaring. Acho, Uncomfortable Conversations. All right. So this is going to be Brandon Marshall's segment of Uncomfortable Conversations. I find it interesting. If I put myself in Deshaun Watson's shoes and I'm in this situation, here's what I'm thinking. J.J. Watt, rumblings of J.J. Watt begin to come out towards the end of the year of J.J. Watt potentially wanting out, potentially J.J. Watt asking for a trade or being released. J.J. Watt sat at the table in a seat that seemed to be equal and respected, and he got what he wanted. Two businessmen sat down and said, look, it's not working out, and I think it's best for us to move on. And then you got Deshaun Watson. He comes in, he sits in a seat, and it doesn't seem to be equal. So I think this is a huge issue. This is an organization that came down when Obama was elected to president. And they said, don't celebrate. This is an organization that's told their guys, don't take a knee or you will be cut, you will be traded. So there seems to be something here that is bigger than just football. And I know it's an uncomfortable conversation, but if I'm Deshaun Watson, I'm thinking that. And that's why it's time to move on, because it was already uncomfortable. You go back to the season and this awkward signing of Josh McCown. Why are you bringing Josh McCown out of retirement? Why are you bringing Josh McCown, who's sitting at home coaching high school football and doing other things in the community? Because they needed someone that can come in and help bridge the gap between Deshaun Watson and ownership. So what do you think is going to happen if you don't trade this guy, or you guys don't work on a resolution where Deshaun's getting out and you're getting something of value? This guy, Josh McCown, was brought in because Deshaun was uncomfortable in the organization and he wouldn't even stick around, Nick. Deshaun would go do his work in other places. And at the quarterback position, you want a guy that can come in and make everybody better. We talk about it around Tom Brady. We talked about it about Big Ben this week. And Deshaun Watson is that guy. But he's not going to be that if you keep him. It's going to get worse. And it's going to be the same situation and the same story that we saw in Houston with James Harden. So I don't like this. And I think it's bigger than just football right now.
So, all right. So there's a lot there. And let me try to respond to all of it. I do think Deshaun is going to get out. I do not think it is going to happen soon, and I do not think it has to happen soon. Mike Meltzer, who does radio nationally and in Houston, had a good tweet thread about this yesterday, and he's absolutely right. April 29th is the date to circle on your calendar, because that's the day of the draft. There are no guarantees that kick in for Deshaun in March 17th when the league year opens. There are no mechanisms that kick in earlier. The Texans have to have this figured out by the draft. And they are not incentivized at all to rush it. Like, they need to see how desperate teams will get. If there is a team that thinks they're going to draft a quarterback that's like, oh, we don't love the quarterbacks, they need to see what bidding war materializes. And it's in their interest to see if there is a Russell Wilson trade, what the compensation there is, because Deshaun Watson, by virtue of his age and his contract, is a better asset than Russell Wilson. So that sets the floor for a Deshaun Watson trade. So I do think Deshaun is going to get out. I don't think it has to happen this week. Now, to your other point about JJ, and Brandon, I think you know me well enough to know I have in my entire career leaned in as opposed to leaned away from those uncomfortable conversations. Yep. And if I see a double standard, that's particularly right, a racial double standard, we talk about it openly and honestly. I think the JJ Watt 100%. Situation, though, is not a really apples to apples comparison in this regard. JJ, for 15, or I think it was $18 million after the injury riddled four of the last 5 years he's had, and for a team that's not going to be contending, does not have massive value to the Texans and does not have hardly any value at that contract on the trade market. So it's easy to say, well, we could get a conditional sixth for JJ, but he's the best 100%. Player in the history of the franchise. We'll let him walk. Deshaun would be the most valuable player traded in the history of the league. And so I understand why you can move quicker. Does that make sense, Brandon? Why you can move quicker with JJ than with Deshaun, because you do have to take into account what the Texans are going to be like once Deshaun is gone.
100%, Nick, and that's why I love working with you, because you see both sides, and you've always been player friendly, but you've always pushed back when you had to, when the player didn't do his job. So I respect you for that. But here's my deal. All right, when I knew I was going to retire, walk away from the game, and then go full-time broadcasting, I thought about, like, what is my personality? What seat do I occupy? And the first thing that came to my mind was, always make sure you give the player's perspective, because you're a player. I can't get on this show and talk to you about statistics and the history of the game, because that's what you've done for almost 20 years, almost your whole life. I will never be a Nick Wright. I'm not as good as you. I can't be Kevin Wiles and being able to tell impactful stories in a way that everybody can relate and is entertaining and it's funny. I can't do that. I can't interview people like Jenna Wolf and have two Emmys. I can't do it. So my place and my seat that I occupy on this show is the player's perspective. Every day when I walk out this door and I walk into my facility, I got 60 professional athletes out there. I got 22 college athletes training to go to the NFL draft. In April and May, I'm going to have 10 NBA draft eligible guys training here. And we have these conversations. So when I'm sitting up here, it's not just me trying to be cool. I'm actually giving the player's perspective. And it's not just my perspective from 2006 when I was drafted. I'm talking to guys who are in the locker room now. And these are the things that they're saying. And this is what's happening in Houston. Guys are literally thinking like, yeah, Nick, you're right, 100%. It's easy to walk away from J.J. Watt, but and not so much Watson. But in that locker room,
it's a great
these
point.
Guys are feeling
that's
uncomfortable.
Right.
They're uncomfortable.
That's
they're
right.
uncomfortable
and that's
for
point,
that
Brandon.
Reason. Yep.
That's the old Slim Charles line I use from The Wire all the time. Don't matter if it's a lie. If it's a lie, we fight on the lie. And the reason I use it is because what I said about JJ and Deshaun and the difference of values and trajectory and the contract and stuff, I think is all accurate. It also might be meaningless if the majority of players in the locker room see it the way, Brandon, you laid out, which is why your perspective's so important. If they see it as, you got to be kidding me. JJ wants his release, and the next day he's on Twitter figuring out where he's going. Deshaun, they won't even answer the phone. So even if there is a reasoning behind those discrepancies, you do risk, and I think this is your important point, Brandon, you risk alienating not only Deshaun, who's probably not going to be there, but other guys in that locker room who see it the way you do, see it the way Deshaun does, who you are going to need to have to be there. So I think it's an important point. I just think that from a pragmatic perspective, there is a difference there, but I it doesn't mean that from a narrative perspective in the locker room, that difference matters much. I think that's
well,
right.
Well, they still seem both sides to be in. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Brandon. Finish up.
Yeah, just the last thing, Jenna. I just think that the Texans have a public relations issue. Like, if I'm thinking about the Texans, like, Deshaun Watson, he's going to play, what, 10 more years? Maybe 15 years if he's lucky and he adopts the TB12 method? The Texans are going to be here for another 100 years or so, right? So if I'm the Texans, I got to think about what does my brand look like after Deshaun Watson? And you have some damage control. So you got some issues here, and you got to fix those things right now.
And as of this morning, they are still at an impasse. So I got to wait and see what happens. Take a turn. Talk some Dallas Cowboys now. Why are they sticking with Dak Prescott? Even though Russ said he's open to Dallas, even though Dak hasn't been offered a contract in like 18 years, it feels like. To be discussed next. First things first. Good stuff, Brandon.
Hey, First Things First listeners. It's Charlotte Wilder here to tell you about my new podcast with Mark Titus called The People's Sports Podcast. It comes out every Thursday, and Mark and I take one of the big stories of the week, and then we go off on tangents you never saw coming. This might mean that we start talking about the Dodgers winning the World Series and end up wondering if Knicks fans deserve happiness. Or begin with LeBron's greatness and end up drafting our ultimate beer league softball team made up of old athletes. Whatever it is, the only rule of the show is that it has to be fun and funny, because these days we could all use as many laughs as we can get. So check it out wherever you get your podcasts and come down weird sports rabbit holes with us. We can't wait to have you. Now, back to First Things First.
Back to our top story now. You know, it is just crazy to think of Russell Wilson playing anywhere but Seattle, but he's not happy there. And rumor is he wants out. So reports are he'd go to four teams. One of those four teams, the Dallas Cowboys. But Jenna, the Cowboys already have a quarterback. They just haven't paid him yet. You're right, Nate. You think they're holding out for Russ? A report yesterday said, no, Dallas still wants Dak as their quarterback. Brandon, you surprised the Cowboys would prefer Dak over Russ?
No, I think this is actually smart. I mean, talent only takes you so far. I do believe that Russell Wilson is the better quarterback, but Dak is special as well. Dak is a dude that is getting better every single year. Before he went down, the offense was averaging almost 500 yards a game. They were spectacular. What was the issue? Ball security. And we know what our buddy Wilds always says. He just stole my slogan. Ball security is job security, yours and mine. And then on the defensive side, I mean, that was the worst defense that we've ever seen, and it cost Coach Nolan his job. So I think it's smart, Nick, that they doubled down, or they're talking about doubling down on Dak, because Dak is a dude that can win you a Super Bowl. But I do find it interesting that this is on the list. I do find it interesting that Russell Wilson's camp would potentially put that out there. So there's a lot to this story.
That's right.
But the Cowboys doubling down on Dak is good.
So, Brandon, I'm going to throw it back to you. As a wide receiver, of course, if you said you wanted to go to Tampa Bay, you want to play with Tom Brady, you're going to come out of retirement, I don't think any of the other wide receivers would feel some kind of way about it. It's like, oh, all right, more weapons, the better. We're good. I thought it was curious that Russ put the Cowboys on his list when he knows Dak is there. Because even when the 49ers kicked the tires on Brady, we were like, oh, how could you do that to Jimmy G? You don't believe in Jimmy G. Where this feels, it feels a little messed up. Like, I see putting the Saints on there. Like, yeah, you know, if Drew Brees leaves, you know, I'd be a good fit down there. You know, it's like in Jameis and Taysom Hill, that feels all right. But it almost feels, I don't want to say disrespectful, but I will say it felt curious that he put the Cowboys on his list out there publicly. Because if I was Dak, I'd be like, yo, what are you doing? That's my job, dude. I'm like, that's where I work. Did that hit your radar at all?
It did hit my radar, but you never know. You know, earlier on this show, remember I said that the Chicago Bears, they looked into this. They've had conversations. There's been some inquiries. So when you think about the Dallas Cowboys situation, what is going on behind the scenes? I don't know. Do you know? Maybe. I don't know. Tell me. But when you see Russell Wilson and you see this situation, you know whose fault this is? This is the Dallas Cowboys' fault. This is Jerry Jones' fault, because this deal was supposed to be done a year and a half ago.
Well, that's it.
And that's why you're in this situation. There you go.
Dak's not a member of the Dallas Cowboys. He's not. He's no more than me, Brandon Wilds, Jenna. I mean, they have the ability to.
No more than me. No,
Wilds. Wilds, it is. I mean, at the moment, it is true. He is. They have the ability to franchise tag him. He is not under a long-term contract. And if I'm Russ, I'm thinking they can't come to a deal.
Yeah.
My deal, one of the things Russ has going for him is cost certainty. You know exactly what it costs to have Russell Wilson as your quarterback, which is why I find of these four teams, like we can go through the list quickly again. The Saints, I do not believe it is possible with the cap. The Bears, I do not believe they have the assets to make it work. The Raiders, if you love Derek Carr, they do have the assets, but if you're mediocre on Derek Carr, ambivalent, then it doesn't work. The Cowboys, however, are in that Goldilocks zone. Not too hot, not too cold, just right. They have a quarterback that they have carved out $35 to $40 million of cap room for, but they can't come to an agreement with, that they seem to believe-ish in, but not fully. Because if you fully believed in him, they would have had this deal done a long time ago. For Russ's purposes, it's like, okay, they might not have the offensive line they had 2 years ago, but they've got an offensive line that's a hell of a lot better than anything I've ever dealt with. And they have as deep of a wide receiving core in the league. They are always a free agent destination. And if you're the Seahawks, you're like, you know what Dak Prescott isn't? High maintenance. And you know what we think, maybe, Russell Wilson is becoming? High maintenance. Dak's younger. He has been, prior to the ankle injury, just as durable. Great leader, great intangibles. We're not losing a ton in that area where Russ is one of the best. And because Russ is the better player, we could maybe say we'll listen if it's Dak and Zeke. And the Cowboys might say, well, that's a big price, but we did overpay for Zeke, and getting off that contract wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. This, to me, Wilds, is the one trade where I'm like, oh, that could work. A trade based on Dak and Russ, and then you work out the fine-tuning of the edges could work, where the Cowboys get better right now, the Seahawks get younger, and they really fully, even more further empower Pete Carroll to run his system. And I think the Seahawks are like, we can win a Super Bowl with Dak the same way we won one with a young Russ. So this one to me is very, very intriguing and something that resonates as a real possibility.
See, the possibility part of it to me is fascinating, because I would be shocked if it happened. If you take the fact, and it's a large fact, that they didn't get the deal done, everything that the Cowboys say and everything that Dak posts on social media with his cowboy hat, like, howdy, everybody. Yeah. Everything points to them getting the job done. Jerry Jones is like, going forward without Dak is like going forward without Stephen Jones. And even after the injury, they're like, he's still our guy. We're looking forward to doing the deal. So to me, I would be shocked, especially they've said all the right things. And we're in the golden age of alienating your franchise quarterback between Deshaun and Russ and everybody.
Yeah, that's right. Hate his man.
Jenna, right. You know what it is, Jenna? Jenna, it's, and I know you all empathize with this from your younger years, and I don't mean that in a bad way. It's your friend that's been engaged for 5 years.
It's her birthday. Stop.
And it's like, when are you getting married?
100.
It's like, okay, that's great. You got a lot of pictures on the gram.
You're going on vacation
together. You love each other. When's the wedding? Yeah. When is the wedding? The wedding might never actually happen.
You said it. You're like, Nick said yesterday, I don't want to go into the offseason still talking about Dak's contract, because that's what we've done for the last couple years. And I second that. All right, let's switch gears. Talk about something that is actually happening, like the Denver Nuggets making NBA history last night with the worst 3-on-1 fast break ever. We'll show it. We'll explain it. We might laugh at it. We'll discuss it next. First things first. The NASCAR Cup Series heads to Miami for the Dixie Vodka 400. Two's going to take the crown at the season's first mile-and-a-half track. All the action starts Sunday, 3:30 Eastern. It's on Fox and the Fox Sports app. And Fox Bet Super 6 and Clint Boyer are giving away more cash this weekend. All you gotta do is download the Super 6 app, enter Clint's Stage 2 contest for your chance. to win a $10,000 guaranteed prize. How about that? You just got to answer 6 questions about stage 2 of Sunday's race on Fox. Not a bad deal. All right, switching gears. We got Antoine Walker with us now for a little fast break. Here we go, Twan. We're going to start in Philly where the Sixers beat the Mavs last night. Nick, your guy, Luka, got locked down. But Antoine, you more impressed with the Sixers or disappointed in the Mavs this season?
I'm actually more impressed with the Sixers and their season. They've been unbelievable all season long. The consistent play, not only at home, but on the road. They were a team last year on the road that were 12-26. They're 8-9 on the road. Their ability to bounce back. And then the additions to the team have been great. When you think about Steph Curry, Danny Green, Dwight Howard, and then Tobias Harris, my guy who got snubbed off the All-Star team, is a 50-40, 90 guy almost. So the Sixers are way more impressive than the Mavs. I think the Mavs were a little overrated. People had Luka to win the MVP. But as a team, they did not make a lot of adjustments or add enough pieces to be really competitive in the Western Conference when you talk about being in the top 4.
Okay. This is all great answers, great points. I'm going to tell you who I'm disappointed in. Brandon Marshall and Antoine Walker. And here's why. Hey, Brandon, I don't know if you've been looking, but ever since you made the proclamation that not only is Joel Embiid the league MVP, but Joel Embiid is the best player in basketball, replacing LeBron James. Let me go ahead and look. Oh, he's 14 of 53 from the field. He's shooting a robust 26% since that proclamation. You might be like, oh, everyone has a bad 3-game stretch, even LeBron. And so we looked it up this morning. You're right. LeBron James has had a 30% or worse field goal percentage in 3 straight games. As an 18-year-old in his second week in the league, hasn't done it since then. So, Brandon, disappointed in you. But more importantly, I'm disappointed in my friend Antoine Walker, who took Ben Simmons off the All-Star team, who said, oh, defense, schmefense, who cares? And Ben Simmons, you know what he said last night? I'm the best defender in basketball, and Antoine Walker. You know who said that 2 days ago? Your old buddy Nick Wright. So I want Antoine to apologize to Ben Simmons, give him his All-Star spot back, because he did lock up my large adult Slovenian son. And Brandon, I want you to apologize to America for saying someone other than LeBron was the best player in the league. Apologies across the board. Wild, you were out sick, so you're fine.
I can't do it. Can't do it. Can't do it. Just keep watching.
I can't do it,
Nick. Keep watching. Look, Jenna. Right, right. Look, both of these stories are real. I'm impressed with the 76ers, and I'm disappointed in the Mavericks. I'm disappointed in the Mavericks because you have a guy in Luka, Nick's stepson or godson, whoever he calls him.
No.
This is a dude that could potentially be the face of the NBA. They're going to have to figure, whatever he says. They're going to have to figure this out. It reminds me of LeBron James in Cleveland. I'm not comparing Luka to LeBron, but what I am comparing is the situation when you have a once-in-a-generational athlete, you got to figure out how to surround them with the top-tier talents in a great organization. Now, why am I impressed with the 76ers, Wild? Because in the bubble, I was calling out Joel Embiid. We're talking about Ben Simmons not being a guy and being a bust. And all of a sudden, a couple months into the season, they're looking like a real, real challenge in the East.
They look great.
You see how I did that?
You did a good job. They have a ton of weapons. You watch that game, you're like, oh, the Sixers have about 7 guys who can get a bucket. And then here we go, like, oh, Luka bringing the ball up. They're like, well, we got to make some magic happen. We know the Nets have got the big 3 and the Lakers have got the big 2. And the poor Mavericks, Nick, I don't know, you gotta have a little father-son conversation because it's just the big one. And I don't know if you guys want to move Porzingis. I don't know, like, you want to have a little conversation with your son here and be like, hey, probably got to move on from Porzingis and get somebody else in here if you guys not going to be able to be on the court. Your buddy needs some help. Your son, I'm sorry, not your
We've
buddy.
We've had those talks.
So do I just say his son?
He defends his teammate.
Your son.
He's my large adult Slovenian son. Brandon, stop disrespecting my family. Jenna, we have to move on. Brandon's going to make me mad. He's my godson.
Other action last night. Twan, Nuggets lost to the Wizards on this wacky final play. They had 3 guys. They needed 2 points to go to overtime. It's a conversation piece because obviously it did not happen. Antoine, who's at fault for the Nuggets' loss last night after that head scratcher of a finish?
Well, one, we start with Jamal Murray. Then second, we start with the Denver Nuggets coaching staff, because usually you start out the practice doing 3-on-1 drills where you just go get a layup. And then the other part is that this is our league right now. Everybody wants to shoot threes. Nobody wants to play basketball. Nobody wants to shoot a layup. And it shows, and this is embarrassing when it comes to the game. The Nuggets to lose a game like this, and Jamal Murray's supposed to be an all-star, a guy that's supposed to take this team to the next level, and this is what you get for game. It's sad, but it's also funny. It just shows where our league is at right now. Guys are running for threes instead of layups.
What?
And they're not the only team that does this, but to do it for game is really embarrassing.
Walk, you're the basketball guy, and I'm the football guy. This is, well, number one, it's on Jamal Murray. Jamal Murray should, if you're a star on the team, then you take the last shot. Go to the basket. But then you're talking about a three. This is why I'm calling you out as the basketball guy. He didn't have any time. This would have been a rushed mid-range floater. This is a better opportunity. This was a better shot for him. He's right there. The ball's coming. It's a bad pass. He had to pull it. Come on, Walk.
Actually, he shouldn't even have been in the game at this time. And then if I'm Jamal Murray, I'm shooting the basketball. It's the reason why some guys make the league minimum, and it's the reason why some guys make 25 plus million a year. Jamal Murray's got to go one-on-one and shoot a floater in that situation.
Okay.
I'm not kicking into
tackle. First of all, stop disrespecting Campazzo. I'm not going to allow the Italian-American erasure to go on any longer. That's first of all. Second of all, Brandon, the reason it would have been a rushed mid-range shot is because they spread out. If any of them just go to the basket, they have a layup. But once again, you're all wrong on who's to blame. Kevin Wilds, you want to know who's to blame? Steph Curry.
Yeah, sure.
This is all Steph's fault. It's Steph's fault. And all Steph, why are we blaming Steph? He's not there. Because a generation of hoopers has watched a once-in-a-lifetime shooter make an open three a layup, and they're like, well, an open three is a layup, but it's worth one more point. It's not a layup for any of y'all. Campazzo, I love you. Not a layup. MPJ, Campazzo. Missouri kid,
not
like me,
Campazzo.
I love you. Go get a dunk. Listen, Steph Curry. Steph Curry needs to hold a seminar and tell people you're not me. Stop trying to be me because you're making the NBA worse. So, Wilds, I blame Steph personally for this.
I don't blame anybody. I liked it. I like highlight reel stuff. Like, go for the win. You know what? Let's go home. I don't want to play for overtime. Let's go for the win. I liked it. I loved Jamal Murray's reaction afterwards. Like, he does the home alone, which you know it's a bad play. You're like, oh, no, Kevin.
My name. Campazzo almost airballed. Campazzo almost airballed.
Let's talk some trade rumors now, stuff that might happen. Raptors guard Kyle Lowry, one of the guys rumored to be on the move. Reportedly, the Sixers, the Heat, and the Clippers are all possible fits. Antoine, where would Lowry make the biggest impact? Philly, Miami, or out there in L.A.?
Well, Kyle Lowry would make an impact anywhere, but I think the biggest impact would be if he goes to the Philadelphia 76ers. If you add him to that equation with Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, now you got a legitimate chance to compete against the Brooklyn Nets. Because Kyle Lowry's going to compete against Kyrie Irving. He's going to compete against James Harden. And he's been there before. He brings a championship pedigree. I think he'll be great for Sixers. And then the icing on the cake is Kyle Lowry's from Philly. So he fits in perfectly with this team.
So he would be great for any of those teams. And
that's true.
I think the point that Antoine makes about Philly is right. But Philly, I don't feel, needs a point guard because they have all-star defensive player of the year, Ben Simmons, fellow Clutch Client, by the way. The team that needs a point guard is Brandon's beloved Los Angeles Clippers. And I've been short-selling, like a rogue Wall Street trader, the Clippers for years now. I'm telling you right now, Brandon Marshall, if they get Kyle Lowry, I'm going to have to reevaluate my position. He would absolutely fix whatever issues they have. He fixes the point guard issue. He would find a way, like, because by the way, Kyle Lowry in the playoffs, once was Paul George in the playoffs. His head got the best of him. He had real struggles and he got over it. He could help Paul George in that regard. He has a relationship with Kawhi. They won a championship together. So, Toronto, if you're going to trade him, don't trade him to the Clippers. Why should you not trade him to the Clippers?
That's right.
I am asking nicely. Don't trade him to the Clippers. I don't want to see him there, Brandon.
Listen.
That would be legitimately worrisome.
I disagree with Walk, and I agree with you on this one. The Clippers, if he goes there, you're going to have a heart attack. And for the first time this season, I will be nervous for the Nets because I truly believe the Nets are going to win the championship. They're going to win the title. The Heat don't have enough. So when you look at the question, the biggest impact, they can't get it done. In the 76ers, come on, man. There's not enough offense to compete against the Nets. So the Clippers is the answer.
Yeah, so I like Miami just because I love the idea of Jimmy and Kyle together, two sort of like super competitive guys. But the other thing that's happening here, and Antoine, you can tell me, I'll throw it to you real quick. Like, the Raptors are just imploding. Like, we're like, maybe we'll move on from Siakam. And then, like, the Lowry thing, they're doing it as kind of like a life raft to him. They're not trying to move him out to sort of get better. They're doing it as a favor to him in his sort of tenure with the Raptors. So the sort of fall from grace, from championship squad, to like when I guess we're in a rebuild now is surprising to me.
Well, I think it's tough to pay him. He's making $30 million a year. So obviously they're not going to pay him that kind of money anymore, the money they spent on Fred Van Fleet. So I think that's where that conversation comes in there. But back to you guys. He will be great in Philly because he could be a starting point guard. Steph Curry is not a starting point guard. He's a backup point guard. You put a guy like this in the starting lineup who can shoot threes and with his toughness takes Philly to the next level. Just think about it.
$30 million.
Okay, I'm with you.
I'm going to come back in my next life as a professional NBA player. Back to our top story now. Has Russ played his last snap in Seattle? Cannot believe we are asking this question. We're headed to the Pacific Northwest to the original Starbucks Wilds. Get some coffee, have a conversation. It's next, first things first. Back here, first things first, with Antoine Walker. Great game last night, Twan, between the Bucks and the Pelicans, between Giannis and Zion. Both went off for 30 plus. Both playing out of their minds. Both could very well be the next king of the NBA. Watch out, LeBron. Antoine, which superstar's got a better chance of taking over as the league's best player? Is it Giannis or is it Zion?
Well, right now, I don't think neither guy can take over the NBA. And hear me out. I think you got to start with Zion. I would like to see Zion take the LeBron James approach to his body. If he's willing to do that, sky's the limit how good he can be, and he could be the face of the league. But if he does not take that type of approach, it will not happen. Then with Giannis, you're talking about a guy who's a two-time MVP, and I think he's probably maxed out. And what I mean by that, if I look at the last 2 years, he was great in the playoffs. He underachieved in the playoffs. And this season, it's the same thing. Giannis dominates in the open court. We see all these great things by him. But he still struggles when it's money time to score. He's still not a very good free throw shooter. He doesn't shoot the three well. He's still yet to establish a middle game, which is a mid-range jump shot or a post-up game. So I don't think either guy. I think what the league does have is a collection of 15, 20 good young players. It's no LeBron James, Kevin Durant, or Steph Curry's right now.
All right, so we were talking in the break. And I was like, Antoine, who's Zion's comp ceiling? Is it Barkley, which seems to be the closest one? But I've asked you who's Giannis's comp ceiling. If he starts to add moves, I don't know if we have anyone, Nick. I don't know if we've seen anyone like him. But it's a huge but. We're like, if Giannis adds a three-point shot, he would be unstoppable. And next thing you know, he's bombing from Steph Curry range, bouncing it off the corner of the glass where the logo is that you can touch in high school as a nice highlight. He's not a great shooter. He's shooting about 29% from three. So I think Giannis wants to be great, in sort of like next level, But I don't know if we've seen him with like a go-to post move. He's got to go to that Hakeem Olajuwon camp in the summer, or that nice three-point shot. We still haven't seen
camp
it.
Mohawk.
So I'm still going Giannis here. But I still want to see. There seems to be a lot of steps that he needs to get to be extra great.
Okay, I'll try to be as fast as I can here because I have a lot to say. This was an unbelievable game last night. People should go back and watch it. Zion in the first half was unstoppable. I'll get to my answer in a moment, but before that, I have to be a bad teammate because what actually happened in the break was before all that, Wilds was like, oh, the best player. I thought Giannis was back-to-back MVP. I thought he put a crown on. I thought he's won Defensive Player of the Year. LeBron's still the best player? And I dared him to come out with that take on the air, and he was a coward. He's a coward. I don't care that you're back home even sick. I don't care. Wilds had a great take ready, which was Giannis is already the best player. And now he's like, oh, he's 29% from three, so I don't know. Cowardly take. If you should have gone with it. That's second of all. The other point that I wanted to make is Zion's 20 years old.
Can we just go back to the studio, old. Please? When are we going back to the studio?
I know.
When is this virtual thing over?
20 years old. Yeah, my concern with Giannis is this, because Jenna will remember this. This was year one of our show. Before Giannis had won an MVP, I said Giannis was a year and a half away from taking the crown from LeBron James. Yep. Giannis since then has won two league MVPs and is further from the crown than ever before because you cannot see any evolution in the game. I love Giannis.
There you go.
But when you lost in the playoffs for back-to-back years because your game didn't evolve, and this year, Brandon, it looks like his game didn't evolve, I've got to say Zion because it's just an untapped gold mine of 20-year-old raw ability who is still figuring things out. So if I've got to pick one of these two guys, Brandon, I'm going to go with Zion because there's so much more upside. And Giannis, I love him. He hasn't added that piece, and you start to wonder if he can.
I 100% agree with you. Walk, you talked about him being maxed out. I don't think he's maxed out. I just don't think his game is going to evolve to a point where it's more dominant. Like, if he gets that three-point shot, if he adds that to his arsenal, can he really dominate the NBA the way LeBron did in Cleveland and then in Miami? No, I don't think so. But Zion, to me, is something that I don't think we've ever seen before. You go back to Spartan Day High School in South Carolina. We didn't know who he really was, but we were all tuned in because he was mesmerizing. But this dude wasn't playing against nobody. It looked like he was playing against 1A students, okay? So then you go to Duke, he was one and done. And then it was the Zion Williams show. Pass the ball to him and everybody get out the way and see what he does. There was no real offense. There was no real development there. And then he gets to the NBA and he doesn't play part of his first year and, you know, just really not doing much. And now this year, he's finally stepping into his own. We don't really know who he is. Like, this dude is doing this on just raw ability. So now he's in a situation where he's developing, he's learning, he's adding new tricks to his game. This, like I've said it before, this is Tyreek Hill, super athletic, explosive, quick, within a Shaquille O'Neal type body. So powerful, so dominant. So I truly believe Zion's the answer because we really don't know how great he is, and he's freaking phenomenal right now.
Hey, Antoine, real quick, because I know we're up against the break. Do you think that Giannis's raw athleticism actually hurts his development? Where we've seen guys who are just superstar athletes come in the league and just sort of like, well, I can get to the hoop with this little spin move. I'm not necessarily prioritizing more of the finesse game. If I'm so good, I can do this. And it's actually maybe as he gets a little bit older and his physical gifts just go down a little bit, he'll have to go to those moves. So do you think his athleticism actually hurts him in a way?
No, I think when you continue to give, you continue to get eliminated early in the playoffs when the expectations is to get to the finals, then that shows it all right there. That's no excuse. And he's got two MVPs, so it makes it very difficult to tell a guy who's got those awards that he needs to improve. But he needs to improve. He's like I say, he's probably maxed out and what he on the basketball court because if we haven't seen the improvement. You got to get in the gym and make the improvement. LeBron James did it. Other great players have done it. He has to do it.
All right, I'll let you tell him that because I'm not going to. Let's talk some Texans now. The Houston Texans have got a voicemail box full of trade offers for Deshaun Watson. So why aren't they picking up the phone? Because nobody checks voicemail. We only check text. So try texting and maybe you'll get a response. This is First Things First. Time now for some stories to start your morning, sponsored by Ram Trucks, built to serve. First things first, we are talking the latest on Russell Wilson. Russ's agent said yesterday that a trade has not been demanded from the team, but also said that if a trade were to be demanded, he'd accept a deal to these four teams: Cowboys, Saints, Raiders, or Bears. So, Brandon, the situation, it appears to have escalated rather quickly. What are the chances Russ is actually on the Seahawks come week one?
Well, Jenna, I asked that question as someone close to Russ's camp, and they believe it's 60% chance. I spent time in Seattle. I've been saying that all year. Everyone knows that. So I have relationships in the organization. I have relationships, you know, obviously with Russell Wilson and his camp. And I really had a great time there. I thought it was an environment that people should study. I thought it's an environment that more coaches should probably try to mimic. Now, with that being said, you got Russell Wilson on this hand. In his first 9 years, he's probably one of the greatest quarterbacks if you take out Super Bowls and how many championships. But when we look at the stats, I mean, he's the best. Peyton Manning, Dan Marino, you can put all those guys in there. So you got him over here. And then you got Pete Carroll, who I truly believe is one of the most phenomenal leaders I've ever been around. Every day he comes with the same energy. Every day he gives everybody an opportunity to be them their best self. I was in year 13 and thought I could get better around Pete Carroll. He embraced me like I was a rookie and that the sky was the limit for me when he knew I probably only had 30, 40 catches left in me. With that being said, how do we have a Hall of Fame coach and a Hall of Fame quarterback and they can't come together? They're not even getting on the phone. Why aren't you guys at an undisclosed location and talking about how we can get on the same page? Go down together. You know, like, okay, coach, you want to run a ball. You have a certain way you want to do things. You got Russell Wilson over here saying, coach, I think I'm on the opposite end of the spectrum. I keep getting hit. There's no protection. Will you invest in the offense? Will you invest in the offensive line like you did in the defense? So come together and try to figure it out, but that's not happening. So if we're going to explore these different options, you know, I'll let our resident GM go into what scenarios may work out, who has cap space, who doesn't, what may fit, what may not. But at the end of the day, you have two legends, two Hall of Famers, and they don't work it out. And this is the thing that we continue to see in sports. Why? Because it's a billion-dollar industry with multi-million-dollar athletes, and when that happens, and coaches, there's egos that come in play. But at the end of the day, it's about communication and compromise, and they're not communicating and they're not compromising, Nick.
Well, and right now this has gone from a story that, and by the way, lesson learned from me to listen better to Brandon Marshall and to Kevin Wilds, because 2 months ago, maybe whenever it was, right after the Super Bowl, like the or maybe right after the Seahawks playoff loss, actually, Brandon said at the end of a segment one day, and by the way, I'm hearing Russell Wilson might be available. And then Wilds during the break was like, folks, shut everything down. We should build the whole show around it. Stop it. We got to talk about it. I ignored Wilds, and I was like, the hell is Brandon talking about? I ignored Brandon. And then 2 weeks later, it's the biggest story in America. Brandon had it before everybody, and we didn't talk about it because we didn't acknowledge it the way I should have. Wilds knew. Brandon knew. I'm an idiot. Okay, but here's the problem, Kevin Wilds, and why it's a big story. Kevin, I know you love your wife and you want to be with her. You know the list of the four women you'd leave her for? You got that ready off the top of your head, or no?
I do not. That list does not exist. Oh,
it doesn't exist. Not anywhere. You can't even go rifle through your papers. Where's that list of four? No, exactly. Russ's agent has a list. He loves Seattle. He wants to be there. Seahawks for life. Go Hawks. By the way, Dallas, Chicago, they look pretty good. Let me tell you about New Orleans. Is there anybody else I could think about? Yeah, maybe. How about Las Vegas? That's a problem. And Wilds, the problem is he went on the record. This wasn't, you know, a person close to Russ says that his agent called a reporter and said, here are the four teams. That is kerosene on this fire. So whether it should be a big problem or not, it is now to me, Wilds. Russ's agent has gone further than Deshaun Watson's agent has. Think about that. That is the situation we're in, and it needs to be discussed as such, Wilds.
So here's the funny thing about this. And Brandon, when you first said this, and this was quoted in the article, you said that Russ wanted out, and if he did leave, he wanted to leave in a classy way. Because he's not demanding a trade, although there's four teams. And now you say it's 60-40. So how much of this, and I'll ask you, Brandon, is just all of it's just a leverage play? That he's still talking, he's going on Dan Patrick, this list out, and it's all a leverage play because it all seems very fixable. Yeah. Hey, I don't want to get hit. Okay, I don't want to get you. Okay. Hey, I want more influence on personnel decisions. Okay. And I want some more influence on the game plan. Okay, that's good. Are you good? Yeah, we're good. Hey, by the way, don't turn the ball over seven times in two games and then come in with a plan to fix it because we know, you know, don't turn the ball over. That was the plan. Then he walks out of the room. So, Brandon, to me, this seems like not necessarily smoke, but there just seems to be a very it's a stream where Deshaun and the Texans feels like a gulf. This just feels like a nice a brook that they could just easily hop over and be like, we're back on the same side.
Yeah. Well, look, one of the things I've learned early what I learned early in my career was believe nothing that you hear in the media and believe half of what you see. So, like, we got to peel back the layers. So when Russell Wilson went on this media tour talking about being traded, I'm like, that's not Russell Wilson. Like, why is he getting messy? But the more I looked into it, it was those meetings were already scheduled by the NFL and the Seattle Seahawks because he won Walter Payton Man of the Year Award, okay? And that's why he had to do it, and they start asking him the questions. But then when you look at what's happening now, I truly believe the Seattle Seahawks or someone in that organization throughout, you know, Jets and Miami, and they're like, well, we're not going there. Here are the four teams.
And now they're counteracting that.
There's so much
more to this
story.
Brandon. Exactly. I'm sorry. Exactly. I have to jump in. We can talk about it more on Monday because...
Breaking
hey,
news.
Look there! It's two funny-looking guys, Jim Wolf and Baker
look
Mayfield.
All my guys.
Look at that. Happy birthday, Jenna.
Who put
Happy
Baker
birthday,
on there?
Jenna.
Oh, my goodness.
Young Danny.
Was great.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
See, you guys
Baker,
do listen
happy
to me.
Happy birthday, Jenna.
I love all of
have
you.
A good
sorry
weekend.
We're not in person. Have a great weekend.
Jenna.